Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning. We're working on all sorts of fun guests to regale you with this week. And also, mostly, though, I just want to talk to you because that's what I love to do is talk where we talk, you and I, 303-713-7600. Talk where we talk. That might be catchy. 707 it is. I'm Aaron Hart filling in for Jay Marvin this morning. Now, here's the problem with the right wing and Barack Obama. They're frightened of him because he's successful, and that's scaring the heck out of them. So far, so good. He's, you know, has he done everything perfectly? No, but they're frightened because he's actually making headway in the world. Headway in the world and doing very well. So it is very important that we are paying attention to what the right wing says, though, because they're going to try to torpedo him, and they're going to try to create all kinds of persiflage nonsense in order to disguise what they really want, which is to take us back to right-wing Landia, where, you know, the military-industrial complex and big money and big oil rule us. And you know what? I don't want to ever go back there again, ever in my lifetime, ever. I'm a capitalist, but I believe in rules, and I believe in rule books, and I believe that both Democratic and Republican broke them. And people like Bernie Madoff and other scofflaws should be, scofflaws too mild of a word, criminal, fraudulent jerks should be marched off to jail. 303-713-7600. But one of the things that they will use in terms of, hi, look over here, because they're actually making headway. The economy's recovering slightly, even on a trickle-down basis. But so we have to talk about this in order to drag you away from that. And the reason that they do that is because they have to, because he's actually beginning to succeed on a few things. So here's the reality. Just red alert, here's the reality. They are disguising this under the persiflage of, he's a Muslim. Remember that one, even though he's been a practicing Christian for a very long time. But because he even admits it, he has Muslims in his family. Now, the reality is he's admitting this more now in the prose part of his presidential ambitions rather than in the poetry part when he was a candidate. Why? Because we're still struggling with true plurality in this country. We still are. We're still trying to overcome our prejudices and our differences and take a deep breath and say, sure, who cares? Like, I have Hindus in my family. I have a Muslim in my family. I've had Mormons in my family. I have Christians in my family. I have Jews in my family. My family's very pluralistic. Okay? So Buddhists. So are we supposed to suddenly curl up our toes and go, you know, yeah, his stepfather was a Muslim. Okay, hello. He grew up in Indonesia, pretty much the largest Muslim country in one of them in the world. So why is this wrong? He goes to the Turkish parliament, and he speaks to them clearly and coherently about why a secular country, as Turkey is, even though it's a Muslim nation in content, right, just like we are a predominantly Christian nation. But he didn't say that, you see. He said we're not a Christian nation, and we're not a Muslim nation, and we're not a Jewish nation. And all of that is true. We're not also not an animist nation. We're not a Hindu nation. We're not a Zoroastrian nation. We're none of the above. Why is that? Because we are the United States of America, and we're founded on a series of ideals. Now, normally you would think, yay, bravo, we're a country of laws, not men. Yay, bravo, we're no longer locked in the dark ages in Europe fighting because of religious differences. Yay. No, what did the right wing do? They had a hissy fit. They had such a hissy fit that I was watching this woman pundit, I forget who she is, I think she works for the Washington Times, try to scream over David Corn over and over again. But he said we're not a Christian nation. Well, what they're leaving off is he also said we're not a Jewish nation, which affects me personally, and we're not a Muslim nation, which affects one of my cousins, my in-law cousins, perhaps personally. So So what are we to do with this information when we're to all take a deep breath and go, yeah, the United States, and here's what else also scares. Basically, I'm just saying this, do you think maybe most right-wing reactionaries are white? Yeah, I'm not saying all of them are white supremacists, mind you, but are some of them? Yeah. And why is that true? Well, because they're frightened. They see, whenever you act out of love, it's gonna scare people who act out of fear. It's going to scare them. People who act out of fear and hate are frightened out of people who act out of love, centeredness, and togetherness. They're just frightened by them. So when the president says, hi, we're an open-minded, pluralistic nation, it scares all the people who want you to be a jingoistic, right-wing, reactionary, crazy nation to death. And so they do things like have hysterics and hissy fits and take him out of context over and over and over again, because that's what they want to do because they're frightened. So, 303-713-7600. We've got several clips to show this. And, John, just play whichever one you think will fit in best here. It is my belief that one of the reasons why they're trying to whip up all this religious fear is because finally we're admitting it. The First Amendment lives and breathes. Great. Thank you. It is embodied by the President of the United States. And here it is. Here is a clip. And I'm not sure which one this will be, but here is a clip that exemplifies this.
On this, the holiest week of the year for Americans of Christian faith, the President of the United States, your President of the United States, told an audience in a Muslim country that the United States of America does not consider itself a Christian nation.
You know, I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although as I mentioned, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens who are bound by ideals and a set of values.
Well, Mr. President, it would seem that you spent too much time on the plane reading the latest edition of Newsweek with the headline titled The Decline and Fall of Christian America by editor John Meacham. Now, some religious leaders are calling for Meacham's firing tonight, and we imagine that many Americans would disagree with Meacham's column just as they would with the president's definition of America. And for that matter, a few of our founding fathers would have disagreed too. For many of them, even the ones who lobbied for a separation of church and state could not help but notice the divine providence that led to the creation of our great nation. Mr. Jefferson himself observed, quote, the God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. In Federalist number 37, James Madison observed, quote, it is impossible for the man of pious reflection not to perceive in it a finger of that almighty hand which has been so frequently and signally extended to our relief in the critical stages of the revolution. Oh, and by the way, both of those quotes and many more can be found in Mr. Meacham's very own book, which is called American Gospel, God, the Founding Fathers, and the Making of a Nation. You might want to try reading this, Mr. President.
See, now, Sean Hannity, you know, that's a good spiel as it goes for their point of view. But the problem is that the president made a statement that basically says we're a pluralistic nation. That's what it said. We're a pluralistic, inclusive nation, and many of us have people of all faiths in our family. He had the first Passover Seder, which made me proud. Good. He had a Passover Seder in the White House. Good for him. The Seder, by the way, talks about delivery from bondage, the liberation of the Jews from Egypt, and about the passages to talk about why freedom matters, why it's important. And the reason it is because then you can hopefully be more inclusive, including accepting and believing that you are going to embrace people of all faiths, of all nations, which is part of what he did on his Euro-Turkey tour. He went, hi, here I am. I'm going to be inclusive. And then he went to Iraq where, it will be noted, the troops, hands down, thoroughly approved of him being there. All right? So that's what's scaring them, is that the troops clapped for him. They gave him standing ovations. They were thrilled to see their new commander-in-chief, which I might add looks a lot like the pluralistic army that we have, okay? Which, you know, Donald Rumsfeld liked to disparage. You have to go to war with the army you have. Well, the army we have is pluralistic. It is diverse. And the United States is growing more and more diverse, which scares jingoistic talk show hosts who have to scare you with every new story about immigration. And it scares people about, have you ever noticed that the only people, those of us who sit down at a dinner table with people of different faiths, of different backgrounds, of different ethnicities, we're not afraid of them because we hang out with them. We know them. People who don't hang out with them, who don't know them, who don't. And you know what? This is why people like Sean Hannity annoy me, is because I know probably in his personal life he has ethnic friends. He has people of different faiths and different ethnicities. But he just talks this story because he knows. And it's why self-hating people like Michael Steele drive me nuts, or apparently self-hating, because why else would you belong to a party that is so patently anti-diversity? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? It's 303-713-7600. Now, Greg writes, and good catch, Greg. He says, did you notice he says your president, not our president? So frustrating that the GOP praises the same things when Bush does it and pans it when Obama does it. Don't you remember that happening? That was from Twitter, by the way. So I think that's very true, Greg. Thank you so much, Greg O. As usual, you're spot on. They will use things, divisive lines like, he's your president, not our president, because they want to set up the division. Well, you know what? He's the president of the United States, of all the states, whether they're red or blue, and especially of the red states, because that's important to remember, too. There are people in the red states who absolutely believe in what Obama is doing, and they should not be denied either. It's 303-713-7600, standing by for Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Do give us a call and chime in. Is the president scaring you with his open and inclusiveness of diversity? Or do you think that there is a lot of hysteria around this issue as well? 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on The J. Marvin Show.
One of the great strengths of the United States is, although, as I mentioned, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens who are bound by ideals and a set of values.
Cool. Yeah. Is there anything untrue in that statement? Why, no. But given the right wing, you would think that he just announced that we're all going to have to become Muslim tomorrow. It's like 303-713-7600. Right wing hysteria. Now they're concentrating on his religiosity. Why are they doing that? Because there are glimmers of hope in the economy. Page yesterday in the Denver Post, fixer-uppers fuel a recovery in Aurora. Now, whether or not those properties are overpaid or whatever, Aurora's managed to get moving on a federal program. Good for them. Yay. Stimulus spending. Working very well. And even George Will says we need more of it. 303-713-7600. Newt Gingrich, excuse me, on this week. Oh, we haven't even talked about Rick Warren yet. That's a pretty funny story. Jason in Denver, welcome and thank you for joining us. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm well.
I just came from Iraq. I was there when President Obama landed. I think you said that most of the troops were very excited for him to be there. That's a misspoken statement. The sentiment from the troops is overall for President Obama. It's actually part, you know, it's bad to see and hear, but they mock the commander-in-chief on a daily basis. But this tower organized to meet him and see him. We're a very small population. Most of the troops within Iraq and Baghdad didn't realize he was there. So it's more.
That's weird because the polls are flying in the face of that among servicemen. But I'm sure maybe some of them don't like him.
What polls?
The polls that have been run of the troops over in Iraq are saying that a lot of them approve of him.
Where are those polls placed? Can you quote one?
I don't know. I'll have to Google it again to make sure of my source, but I know, sure. I've read one recently. But go ahead.
Sure. And that's pretty much all I wanted to say.
You're against him? You don't like him and you mock him? How do you mock him? I'm just curious.
No, I'm not against him. I'm telling you what the overall sentiment of the troops is. That they mock President Obama. You know, if he says he's going to pull out all non-combat troops from Iraq, mm-hmm. all troops in Iraq are combat troops.
Right.
So it's just a play of words to make the U.S. citizens feel good about what we're doing over there, feel more happy about us staying there.
You don't think we're going to pull out troops? Because
we are pulling out troops.
And you don't agree with that?
No, I do agree. But we're pulling out non-combat troops.
Right.
Every troop in Iraq is a combat troop.
But there have been some reductions in force, and there will continue to be, according to Odierno.
And you know what? Everything is going great over there, too. They're not killing Americans anymore.
No, they just killed 5 soldiers from Fort Carson, paper
and how many? That was 5, is the first killing in how long?
From Fort Carson.
Any killing is bad, but that's...
I know. It has been reduced. I agree. And you know, I think that that's good, but I guess I'm confused. If you're saying that you understand what the entire population in Iraq is thinking of the troops?
No, not at all. I didn't say that at all. I say the majority of the people.
You think the majority don't like him?
Of the soldiers.
Don't like presidents in general?
I don't say I don't like President Obama. They mock him, and they mock the way he speaks. They mock the way he talks to them.
And so how do they mock him? I'm just curious. Give me an example.
Sure, I just gave you one. He said he's pulling out, I think they're reducing the troop number by 50,000 troops, removing all 50,000
Isn't that doubting that they'll be pulled out because President Bush claimed that he would do lots of things and never did?
No, you know what? The soldiers do not want to be over there. That's the first
thing. I understand that.
No soldier wants to be in war.
Right. I understand that. I agree with them. I think Iraq was in a colossal stupidity and a mistake perpetrated by George Bush. So let me ask you a question: Did they make fun of?
Did they?
Because George Bush got us into Iraq. Hello.
The same intelligence was given to the entire.
No, sorry. That's been discredited. I'm sorry. That's been absolutely, completely, and thoroughly discredited.
The same intelligence was given to everybody. The Democratic Senate voted to pass the budget.
Yes, and I don't care who got it. It has been thoroughly and completely discredited because a lot of it was perpetrated by... No, they didn't slant the intelligence, which the Bush administration, which it gave them only a distorted view of what the intelligence was.
Did not slant
check
the intelligence.
Check your facts. They distorted it. They admit it now. It's been discredited over...
The intelligence community did, which is...
You know, the sky is blue, son. I'm not going to sit and tell you that it's not, Jason. Come on. Let's get real here. Take a deep breath and just get real. The reality is they distorted the intelligence. No, Scott. I'm not saying that one guy did it. I think Vice President Cheney did it. I think that the people inside of the Pentagon did it. I think Donald Rumsfeld helped do it. They cherry picked. Even the former Secretary of State, Colin Powell, admits that they were misled by the intelligence. That's one reason why he made the director of the CIA sit behind him, because he knew he was lying his face off and he wanted some culpability. So please, don't tell me the sky is green when it's blue.
No, I'm telling you, you're right. You just said they were misled by the intelligence.
It was distorted. They distorted it, though, and he knew they were distorting it. That's why he made him sit behind him. He knew he was lying his face off, and he wanted some culpability then. So here, let me ask you another question there, Jason. If you think that you know the troops are mad at him because they'd like to be out faster, that's a little different than thinking this was a colossal, biggest foreign policy mistake we have made probably in our history as a country, perpetrated by the right-wing reactionary, ridiculously stupid and jingoistic policies of the George Bush administration.
I didn't say the troops are mad at anybody.
That's my opinion. You just said that they don't like their commander-in-chief. Right?
They mock him.
Okay, well, you know, mocking him isn't, I want to come home, I'm tired of war. Mocking is doing what the president says he's going to do, because he's actually going to do something. He's shown over and over again in his short tenure, in 80 days, that he actually walks the talk.
Why did it take him so long to free the hostage off the coast of Somalia?
Yeah, it took him just over a week, and he authorized the Navy SEALs, and he did it without fanfare and jingoistic posturing like mission accomplished on the deck of a ship. He did it quietly. He walked softly and carried a big Navy SEAL stick. Okay.
The mission accomplished sign was put up by the Navy who owned the ship.
Excuse me. Not true. They orchestrated it through the White House press You just read your facts, son. Read them.
Okay.
You know, I salute your, you know, Jason, forgive me, I shouldn't call you son because I don't mean to belittle what you're saying. Sir, look, the reality is, sir, Jason, that the reality is that was orchestrated and perpetrated by the White House press office. I'm sorry. True. That's why he landed in a flight suit. That's why
Did things become a fact just because you said
with
true?
His package outlined. No, I'm telling you that's the truth. It's been analyzed over and over again. It's so old. I don't know. Maybe in Iraq. Maybe in Iraq you didn't know. Maybe you didn't get newspapers. New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, even Fox News admits it was a mistake to do that.
Yeah, it was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake.
So, you know,
it was put up by the ship, not by him.
No, it wasn't, actually. It was not. It may have been they carried out their orders, but it was orchestrated by the White House press office. You just need to pay attention. They do things like this all the time. The Obama administration gets the best spin on what they do, too. But you know what? They wouldn't stand on the deck of an aircraft carrier and say mission accomplished when it was patently not true.
Right,
they wouldn't have
funny.
Let... You know, and the reality is when the Bush administration let the chaos descend in Iraq, that's when they lost, is when they let the riots go on.
We all know that, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the Bush administration and the ridiculous policies of Donald Rumsfeld.
Like I said, there was...
Brought to you by the right-wing reactionary idiots.
No, it was brought to us by the current administration and lack of intelligence.
Excuse me. You're going to blame the descent into chaos in Iraq on the Obama administration?
I said the Bush administration. You're so crazy that you think
you just said current administration. You just said current administration.
Okay, I'm sorry.
In case you haven't noticed, Barack Obama is now president of the United States.
I know. Okay, I meant the Bush administration. We all know the Bush administration, Department of Defense, intelligence lacked the correct intelligence to follow through with Iraq.
They didn't lack the correct intelligence. They had the correct intelligence. They definitely cherry-picked it and ignored the intelligence that overrode what they said. Dick Cheney is still trying to claim that Iraq was partially responsible for 9/11, which was patently not true. Wasn't true then, isn't true now, will never be true. They just did it because they wanted to whip up a frenzy and a hatred in order to get cover to invade Iraq. That's why, and then they dropped the ball on Osama bin Laden and let Afghanistan descend into chaos. All of those things happened on George Bush's watch.
Unfortunately, we cannot capture Osama bin Laden. If we captured him, the war would be over, and we wouldn't get funding to stay in Afghanistan. That's the truth. That's something you probably agree with, too.
No, I think we ought to capture Osama bin Laden and have this be over. And fund democracy in Afghanistan with peace dollars, not with war dollars. It's crazy to go after it this way.
Unfortunately, we all would like peaceful democracy everywhere, but unfortunately, the people that live there, half the people that live there, don't want that. They want us gone. They want to kill the brethren.
Oh,
that
I see. So you really think that people over there really want to just be killing each other? Well, if that were true, then I just can't agree with that. Yes, people will go after each other and try to kill each other in Yugoslavia, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, even in this country, if we let them. But since we are a nation of laws, not men, since we have ideals and a democracy, those things can help. But you know what? Saying just writing off a country and saying all they want is perpetual warfare is to ignore human nature, too, is to ignore the desire for peace and tranquility and love and respect as well. And I believe if those things are encouraged and nurtured, those things can thrive and survive and outlive and outlast the desire for war. At least I hope so, Jason. Maybe we can agree on that.
I hope so, too. One last point. You know, I'd like to hear you discuss more current events instead of just talking about other talk show hosts. Unfortunately, it gets pretty old pretty fast.
But that is current events. That is
talking
what's happening. And
hosts?
The current events is the President of the United States just successfully helped freed a hostage and did it better than anybody else.
I quit watching Fox News because they're talking about the news. They talk.
Well, what issue is burning that you want to talk about so much? And maybe I'll give it a whirl.
I don't know. I just got back from Iraq.
Thanks anyway. It's 7:35. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. We can talk about Iraq. I think the president's gonna get us out of there, and I hope it gets to be in better shape if the Rockies will take charge and get after it. 7:35 it is. I'm Aaron Hart filling in on the Jay Marvin Show. Overdue for a traffic break with John Chirk, so hie us to that, please. It's 303-713-7600. Good morning. I'm filling in for Jay Marvin most of the week this week, so do turn in. He's still under the weather, so we're hoping he gets better. You can find me on Facebook and maybe Twitter this morning if I can get it together and get on there. I'm also getting your instant messages and much appreciated, and your phone calls. Look, Jason, I mean you don't, no disrespect. You served our country. You went to Iraq. You know what's on the ground there. I'm just saying that from what I've heard, the troops are also very enthusiastically supportive of him, even though people expected them not to be. And that worries the right wing, too. Kathy in Erie, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Good.
I wanted to remind people that on those quotes from Sean Hannity,
yes,
that he was talking about God and the Creator. And
right.
God and the Creator is the basis of all these religions, Jews, Christians, Muslims, and what Christianity is based upon is the following of Christ specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's misleading people drastically
on what a Christian is. Of course he is. That's a good, very good point because, you know, there is the Trinity, right? And so
right.
he's ignoring, like, a substantial portion of the Trinity. So
absolutely.
Yeah, he is, you know, they're using this for their jingoistic purposes and to get back at Obama. That's why they're doing it.
Sure.
They want to, and that is current events, by the way. Even though Jason accuses us of recycling, what Jason doesn't want to talk about perhaps is the successful interdiction of the pirates and the recovery of the captain. They don't want to talk about that because it's an Obama success. They don't. I was just thinking about it. I thought, did I really not mention any current events? Fixer uppers, fuel recovery in Aurora. Been talking about that this morning. Been talking about glimmers of hope on the edge of the economy, but they don't want to talk about that. You know, they don't want to speak about that because that shows that the president is doing a good job. I'm sure they don't want to talk about states having to slash social programs for the vulnerable because that shows up just how much trouble we're in if we let this economy continue to slide, which Obama is trying to interdict, you know, with giving funds like the ones that are fueling part of the house fixer-upper recovery in Aurora. But they don't want to talk about that because it marks some successes, you know, and all they want to concentrate on in it is why this is so bad.
Which isn't even true.
Which isn't even true, exactly. But, see, why let reality get in the way? They would never want to do that. Why would we let facts? I mean, the company that brought you Mission Accomplished wouldn't want to let facts get in the way. You know, they don't pay attention to facts. They pay attention to the distorted world as they see it.
So how can we get the public's attention on facts versus what's not true?
Well, I think we've got it because 60%, you know, one of those polls, they're all going, oh, my goodness, there's polarization. Look, only liberals like him. Well, you know, 7% of the Republicans like him now as opposed to the 40-something percent, according to the Pew Research and Trust poll. Well, here's the problem with that. 60% of the independents in this country who are the ones who decide elections liked him back in January and still like him now, which is why they're being hysterical and trying to make such a big deal of all this, you see? That's why they're doing that.
I think they may even be picking their 27% from some very small area of our country,
exactly.
Not the whole country.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing. Bingo. But they're not going to succeed because those people don't really vote, and that's part of the problem, too. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it, Kathy.
Thank
It's Stuart in Aurora, I believe. Thank you, Stuart. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, good morning. I've talked to you a couple of times before.
Hi, Stuart.
You know, the gentleman who was on the...
Jason.
I guess it's Jason. Yeah, he's a soldier.
Yes, he says.
Yeah. From well... I, of course, now I'm pro-military. I've talked to you before. I used to be a Republican. I just recently left the Republican Party after 21 years.
I remember.
I have a great deal of respect for the soldiers and what they're doing over there, and it's just you can't even measure my respect for those boys. But you hear an opinion like that, and it to me, and I don't have, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Or think yourself, but it represents the Republican type of thinking, which is If you heard the guy respond to anything that you said, had no validity at all.
Right.
You know? And
I know.
It's a little scary that that's coming from a soldier. I don't think that that's representative of the soldiers over in Iraq. I'm sure they're going to be glad to be coming home.
Me too.
Which I'm sure the Republicans will not give President Obama due credit for, since he's going to be the one to bring them home.
Well, and they don't want to give credit to things like the interdiction of Somalia. See, he didn't make a big deal about Somalia, the Somali pirates. He didn't make a big announcement. He wouldn't answer questions at a press availability he had. He just let the military do its work. Yep. He was very quiet about it, and I like that about him. He didn't stunt. He didn't show off. He didn't try to be quienes más macho, you know? He was like, he was very quiet about it. And you know what? We have a captain who's now going home to his family.
That's right, and we didn't pay a bunch of money to do it.
No. You know, nope. Andy's announced a new policy, and good for him, you know what I mean? It's like there's a failed state in Somalia. It's a really tough issue to deal with. You can't blame them in some ways for becoming a nation of crooks and pirates. It's a mess. But,
well, you can't negotiate with those people.
No, they have nothing to lose. Their own situation is so bad. They're living on the razor's edge of desperation.
You know, when President Obama gave his press conference, I don't know if you saw it, there was a reporter that was asking him about why it took him long. And I loved President Obama's response to this. But they were talking about how long it took President Obama and his administration to respond to the bonus pay for AIG. I don't know if
right.
you remember that question.
Yes, I do. I do
Obama,
remember.
Obama kind of didn't answer it the first time around. He was busy answering another part of his question.
Right.
So the reporter stood up and asked him again.
Right.
And Obama, I'm not going to put it as eloquently as Obama did, but Obama said, well, look, I took 2 days because I like to know what I'm talking about before I talk about it.
Wow. You know, and it's like, wow, a president that actually thinks and doesn't have to turn to the vice president and go, what am I thinking today? Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's just like, it's amazing. It's like, wow, somebody who actually has a complex view of the world, and which is very complicated after all, and actually wants to think over before he makes a big statement.
Well, I think that this is one of the, for me, this is one of the fundamental differences between this, at least this president. I don't know too much about his administration. I guess, you know, time will tell about them. But for me, this is very representative of why I voted for Obama in the first place.
Yep.
Because he uses his intelligence to make better decisions.
He's deliberate. And you know what? Even when I disagree with him, at least I think he thought it over first. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like, hooray. And I am going to disagree with him sometimes. And I'm not going to approve thoroughly of everything he does. But you know what? At least I will believe that he understands what he's talking about, and he researches it, and he gets contradictory advice from his aides and his cabinet ministers. And good for him.
Yes,
hooray.
That's what we pay him to do.
Amen, brother.
You know?
Thank you. Thank you so much for your call, Stuart. I really appreciate it. Thank you for calling.
Have a great day.
You too. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. John and Laramie, hang in. I'll get to you coming up. It's now time to jump to a break, though, and traffic with John Turk. And we'll be right back with more of your phone calls right here on the Aaron Hart version of The J. Marvin Show on Colorado's Progressive Talk, AM 760. Here's John. Hi, it's Aaron Hart filling in for Jay, and one of the pleasures of doing that is to talk to Michael Spear, Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage, Inc. Hi, Mike.
Ms. Hart, how are you today?
I'm swell. Please call me Aaron. I know it's been a spell, but I'm still Aaron to you.
Good to hear from you today.
Good man. So what recommendations do you have as Presidential Brokerage Executive Vice President, where intelligent investment guidance is your motto?
Well, yeah, you want to hear something real intelligent? I think it's CYA. Cover
okay.
your Adam's apple.
Assets.
That's right. Cover your assets. you know, I think it's important if people are looking at retiring, particularly in the next 15 years or less, to make sure that you don't ride a market down. Now, we have seen 5 straight up weeks in the market, which is very encouraging, and it might be appropriate to put some of your dollars to work in the market if they're not still there. If they are, I would have somebody take a look at what I'm in to make sure that they are the best horse. You know, Aaron, a lot of people are saying these days, gee, I don't want to get out right now. It's near the bottom, and that may be true, but what you want to do is be on the best possible horse that can take you to a recovery, and it might not be the ones that you've ridden all the way down. So give us a call for a second opinion. We do have the market down about 93 points right now on the Dow, Aaron. The NASDAQ's down 15, the S&P's down 9, and the Russell's down 8.75. Not bad, but still some concerns going into this heavy week of earnings and economics. So economic report. So give us a call.
And the way they reach you is 303-749-2770, correct?
That's it.
That's it, 303-749-2770. That would be Mike Spear, Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage. Thanks again, Mike.
All right, thanks, Aaron. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. 303-749-2770. That's Presidential Brokerage. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on The J. Marvin Show. Okay, are they making too big a deal of this religiosity thing? And what was that up with that bow to the Saudi king? You know, I got to say, I wouldn't want to even bow to the Queen of England, especially since I'm Irish. But, you know, I don't know, curtsy. I guess in my case, I would curtsy. But it's just like, curtsy, that's such a weird word. Curtsy. I'm not even sure I do know how to curtsy because I've been in Reformation plays, but still, it's like, I'm not sure I would want to curtsy or bow in front of anybody, and it did sort of look like a bow, but was it such a big deal? See, this is part of the way they're concentrating on, look over here, look over here, look over here, forget that we're buying ammo and guns, okay? Forget it. John in Laramie, welcome to AM760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Well, I've been listening to Republicans for years and years. And they started out by making lousy shoes for the Union Army. And then they went on and sunk the battleship Maine. And then they tried a coup attempt in the 1930s. It just goes on and on. And basically what they are is a bunch of liars, bullies, and crooks. They don't stand for anything else except their own advantage. And they will do anything to gain advantage. And that's why they don't listen.
You know, and see, I think the truism that Republicans, all they want to do is eviscerate you and conquer you and control you, whereas, you know, Democrats, you know, actually get elected and want to govern is true. I really do think that's true. I think it's a truism, not a stereotype. I really do.
Yeah, I have Republicans in my family, good and bad. And,
me too.
They're
mostly good.
They're mostly good. Yeah, a few of them are good. My grandfather was very good. And then other ones are just kind of crooks. And I'm used to hanging out with crooks. And that's what it boils down to.
It's like that website, Crooks and Liars, right? It's like,
yeah,
help.
Exactly.
Help!
And they start almost every war. They manage to somehow start. And,
I know.
And nobody knows it. But they
do. You know, they know how to start them, but they just don't seem to know how to finish them. They leave that to us, you know?
Yeah. That's probably because they're sitting at home doing nothing.
Well, I'm running out of time for this segment, but thank you very much. Doug in Westminster, do hang in. I'd love to talk to you. We're going to continue this topic into the next hour and broaden it a bit. Coming right up, I do keep you in mind, Jason, with current events, so we'll hi there, too. I'm Aaron Hart on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, filling in for J. Marvin. Stand by for the news. We'll be right back. 303-713-7600.